Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Good evening. You know, we are living in difficult times, but in the same time, God continues to move. And it is exactly what we wanted to show through this video. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you for standing with Israel in this difficult time. You know, it is always a big blessing for me to be part of Calvary Chapel Fellowship, because Pastor Chuck Smith, he had a big heart for the God of Israel and for the people of Israel. And I can say that many leaders of Messianic movement in the land of Israel today, they came to faith during the Jesus Revolution time. So it is always a huge privilege to be part of Calvary Chapel Fellowship. And I will start today with a short testimony. I will share with you my family salvation story. And then we will speak shortly about fulfillment of Bible prophecies in the history of the Jewish people. So, today there is a many... First of all, I need to mention that to share with you my testimony, my family testimony, I need to take you back all the way before the Second World War. Now, today, there is a many secular Jewish people. They are Jewish by blood, they are Jewish by their parents, but they don't observe any Jewish Bible commandments. But origins of my family from Latvia. Latvia is a small country in Eastern Europe that shares the border with Russia. And in that time, before the Second World War, most of the Jewish people in Eastern Europe were very religious. Walk to the synagogue was a daily event. And you know, Judaism is a beautiful religion, many beautiful traditions. And Jewish people, they read the same Bible that we read. They read the same Old Testament. By the way, the name Old Testament, it is a... We call the Old Testament the Jewish Bible or Tanakh. So they read the same Old Testament. And they try to live according to the Old Testament exactly as we Christians try to do. But there is a kind of difference, because in Judaism... I did my education in Jewish Religion Institute, and Rabbi always told us, you need to live according to the word of God, according to the Holy Torah. But remember, it is burden of the commandments. It is very hard to observe the commandments of the Old Testament by your own power, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without Jesus, without Yeshua. So there is a kind of pressure of Jewish religion leadership on Jewish community. And at that time, my grandfather, before the Second World War, he was a young man, and he didn't like this pressure of the rabbis. So he was influenced by communist ideology that was spreading throughout Eastern Europe in that time. But see, sometimes God moves in mysterious ways, and through my grandfather, salvation of our family came to be. In 1941, when German soldiers were very close to the Latvia border, many Jewish people didn't escape. Many of them didn't run away. And one of the reasons was that, at least in my family, they believed that God will protect them. They believed that they tried to live according to the standards of the Bible, and God watches upon the people who keep his commandment, and he will keep them. And today we understand that it was misleading understanding of the Bible, because in the Bible it is very clear that people of Israel need to go and live in the land that God gave to them, not to stay in Eastern Europe. But my grandfather, because of his skeptical point of view on Jewish religion, he decided to escape. But he didn't escape to Israel, he escaped to Russia. And then when he came back after the Second World War, he found out that all our family was murdered by Nazis. his father, his mother, his younger brother, and his younger sister. And for him, it was the last confirmation of the lies of the religion. And so he decided to study communist ideology. And after his studies, he worked for communist explanation alignment. Do you know what does it mean, communist explanation alignment? He wrote for communist propaganda. We know it from China and or North Korea today. Now, in that time in Soviet Union, the situation was even worse than in China today. Only for having the Bible in your home, you could be in prison. And not just in jail, in the basements of KGB. But they had some rare copies of the Bible in the offices of KGB. KGB is the secret police of communists in Soviet Union. But they had some rare copies of the Bible. Do you have some ideas why they kept these rare copies of the Bible in their offices? If they are communists, they don't believe in any God, why they need to read the Bible? Good question, yeah? To study Bible and provide explanation against the Bible. And my grandfather, because of his job, was able to receive one of these rare copies and bring it to our home. And I can see it very clearly that the moment the Bible entered into our house, power of God started to move in our family. It is not just a historical book, it is the word of the living God. I am talking about the Holy Bible. And then my grandfather brought this Bible to our home, and his goal, his idea was to read the Bible and provide explanation against the Bible. But my father found, he was 16 years old. Boy, my father, in that time, and he found this Bible. And he started to be interested what is written in the Bible. And so he started from the Tanakh, from the Holy Torah, from the Old Testament. And then he continued and he read from the New Testament. And he fell in love and full of love picture of Yeshua, Jesus. And I can say he came to faith by reading the Bible. And of course, he was 16 years old boy, so he had some questions and he wanted some guidance, and he decided to visit local synagogue in Latvia. But under the communist pressure, synagogue was just a community center. People just come together for fellowship, no Bible studies, no prayer meetings. Then he decided to widen his searches, and he visited local church, but local official church. You know, we know it from China, official church. It was, they were in the same situation. Just people came for the fellowship. So for a long time, he was the only one he knew who believed in God. And only at the end of the 80s, when the first Christian missionaries, first Messianic Jews started to come to Latvia, share the gospel, plant the local churches, my family connected to one of the denominations. Then my mom came to faith. My father connected, then my mom came to faith. My grandma, she survived the Second World War, and she suffered so much in her life, and she was far away from the concept of the religion. But she came to the congregation out of curiosity, and God touched her heart, and she came to faith. It reminds me the words of Apostle Paul, who encourages us and says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's not always easy not to be ashamed of the gospel in Jewish community. And by the way, Jewish people, we have a freedom of faith in Israel. And if you are the Christians, I know some of you are planning to come to Israel in January, you will see, they will respect you and they will be happy that you are coming to support us. And they love Christians, but if you are a Jew and you believe in Yeshua as your Messiah, then you are a traitor. Then you can get a lot of rejection for your own people. But Apostle Paul encourages us not to be ashamed of the gospel. And then he continues and says, it is the power of God. So gospel, it is first of all about power of God. And sometimes all what we need, if we have not believers, friends or family members, just to pray for them and invite them here to the church. And God can touch their hearts. Amen? So it is my family story, and I grew up in a Jewish Messianic, Jewish Christian family. And today, me and my wife Victoria, we have a privilege to serve God with Chosen People Ministries in Israel and to the Jewish communities all over the world. Yeah, as a Chosen People, we try to be everywhere where is a big Jewish community or many Israeli travelers. Israelis, they travel a lot because in Israel, we have a mandatory military service. Both girls and boys have to serve in the military. For many young people, it is kind of time of pressure. And after the military service, they traveling all over the world. So we try to reach them for their Messiah, for the gospel, also outside of Israel. So thank you for standing with Israel. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We really need it. And let's move to the next slide. Today I want to share about a little bit shortly about fulfillment of Bible prophecies in the history of the Jewish people. And this topic is important not only for Jewish people, not only for Messianic Jews, but for us as Christians as well. Why? Because when we read the ancient prophecies and then when we see the fulfillment of these ancient prophecies, it makes our faith stronger that the Bible is the word of the living God. Let's move to the next slide. Next one. Now, what is interesting for me is that many people in Christian world who read the Bible and love the Bible don't think about these people of Israel. Because when I read the Bible, I see that everywhere Bible mentions people of Israel and land of Israel. But I think I know why it happens. Because many times we read the Bible only from a personal perspective. And it is partially true. Because from the Bible, we can read about personal salvation. The Bible can give hope to a person. The Bible can lead us to healthy family life. The Bible can lead us to healthy spiritual life. But we need to understand that God is the creator of this world. And he has a plan for the history of entire world. And it is spiritually healthy to shift our focus just from personal perspective and try to see the full picture of God through the Bible. You see the difference. And from this point, we need to understand that all of us, we are unique. And we didn't come to this world by mistake. God has his own plan for each of us. But it is his story. It is not our story. You see? It is a difference. We need to try to see the full picture of God from the Bible. And when we follow the history of the Jewish people, we can see the full picture. Because history of the Jewish people links directly to the history of entire world and to the second coming, first and second coming of Jesus Christ. And what is also important for me to mention that God created this world perfect. But we as a humanity, we rebelled against God and we allowed sin and death to enter the perfect world that God created. And sin and death corrupted the perfect world that God created. But our God is compassionate God, and in Genesis chapter 3, following the fall of Adam and Eve, God promised that he will send the Savior, the Messiah, who will redeem us from slavery to sin and horror of death. And then when we read the Bible until the chapter 11, we can see that Bible talks about the humanity in general, all the people's group. But then in chapter 12, we meet a person named Abraham. And later God will change his name to Abraham to be father of his chosen people. And from chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, Bible kind of focuses on Abraham and his descendants. And so God commanded Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to the land of Canaan. And then God promised that he will give this land to Abraham and his descendants. And I want to read for you from Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates." So God commanded Abraham to leave his homeland, to go to the land of Canaan, and then God, in his sovereignty, gave this land to Abraham and his descendants. It is very important point for us as a Christian to remember, because throughout the generations, many people, many nations will fight for this land. But we as a Christians need to remember that God in his sovereignty gave this land to people of Israel. Now, you know, God gave this land to Abraham and his descendants, but to fulfill his promise to Abraham, God needed to perform a miracle. Why? Because Abraham's wife, Sarah, was not able to have children. So God promised to Abraham, who was 100 years old, and Sarah, who was 90 years old, that he will give them a son. And from this son, Abraham would become a father of the great nation. And God fulfilled his promise, and he gave birth to Isaac. I can say that from the beginning of formation of the nation of Israel was surrounded by miracles. And let's move to the next. Next slide, and let's read from Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And God did something beyond our understanding, and God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." And Abraham obeyed God, and he took his son to one of these mountains that God told him. And at the moment that he was about to sacrifice his only son, an angel stopped him. In this story, we see absolute obedience of Abraham to God. Let's move to the next slide. And following Abraham's obedience, God renewed his promise to Abraham. I will read for you from Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And God promised Abraham, saying, "Because you were ready to obey me and offer your only son as a sacrifice, through Isaac I will bring a blessing into the earth, and all the family of the earth shall be blessed." And so let's move to the next slide. Abraham was the first of the fathers, first of the patriarchs of the people of Israel. And then God decided to continue his promises through Isaac. And Isaac had two sons, one of them Esau and Jacob. And God chose Jacob. And later God will change his name from Jacob to Israel. And by the way, from this chapter comes the name of the nation of Israel. And in very first time, we see name Israel in Genesis chapter 32. In the same chapter, there is an interpretation of the name changed, the struggle with God. But there is an additional interpretation on the name for the name changed, changed based on Genesis chapter 35, where the name Israel is mentioned again. This interpretation states that the name change indicates change in Jacob's character. In Hebrew, the name Jacob indicates crookedness, Yaakov, crookedness, but the name Israel can be interpreted as a person who walks straight with God. And so Jacob had 12 sons, but they don't really walk in the way of God, and we know the story. Out of jealousy, they sold their brother Joseph to slavery. But God, it is evil deed, but God continued to be faithful. And Joseph became a ruler in Egypt. And through Joseph, all the family was saved from famine. And then new king rose up in Egypt, and he enslaved Israelites. But it didn't surprise God, because God, few generations before, God foretold to Abraham that his descendants will be, let's move to the next slide. God foretold to Abraham many, many generations before that his descendants will be slaves in the foreign land. And in that time, Egypt was the most powerful empire in that region. But God doesn't care. He just sent Moses. He just sent Moses to redeem people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt. The nation of Israel left Egypt after the miracles of God they witnessed. But despite all the miracles God performed for the people of Israel, they didn't trust God. And because of their lack of faith, an entire generation didn't enter the promised land. As punishment, the nation wandered in the desert for 40 years. Until that entire generation died in the wilderness. So, you know, when we investigate in the history of the people of Israel, we can reveal for ourselves the character of our God. And we can see that God does not compromise on sin. I can testify that every time when my people didn't walk in the way of God, disaster followed us. But disaster, the goal of the punishment was to bring our nation back to the way of God. And it always was for a temporary period of time. Because God is still faithful. You know, it is ridiculous to claim that God changed his mind on Israel. Because if God changed his mind on Israel, what can be our insurance as a Christians, as a messianic believers, that he will not change his mind on us? But God is faithful. God is faithful to people of Israel, and God is faithful to us to keep our salvation. And so after 40 years of the wandering in the wilderness, God, under the leadership of Joshua ben Nun, people of Israel, they entered into the land of Israel. Let's move to the next slide. Next one. And so people of Israel, they lived in the land of Israel, and with the time, their morality and their spirituality started to decay. And let's now jump to the days of Samuel. And Samuel, he was a judge and a prophet. From my perspective, one of the best that people of Israel had. But people of Israel turned to Samuel and they demanded for a king. And the God, we can see, let's move to the next slide. And God tells to Samuel to listen to the voice of the people. And from this passage we learn that God respects our freedom of choice even when we make wrong choices. So God respects people's freedom of choice and tells Samuel to listen to the voice of the people. And so God gave them a king just as they have demanded, a young man, tall and good looking. God gave them King Saul, and Saul didn't walk in the way of God and got Israel into troubles. Let's move to the next slide. And then God decided, I will give them another king. And God gave them King David. And it is written that King David was after his own heart, the heart of God. Let's move to the next slide. And David did something special. He told to God, I have a house and I want to build a house for you so that your presence can be among the people. And God saw David's desire to see his presence among the people, and he delighted it. And so he decided to continue his promises through David and his descendants. I want to read for you for 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 10 to 14. The Lord will build a house for you when your days are fulfilled, and you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up one of your descendants after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my love kindness away for him, as I took it from him who was before you. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And of course, the initial fulfillment of this promise fulfilled in King Solomon, the son of King David, who built the first temple. But God's promise goes much deeper. God promised David that the throne of David's kingdom will be established forever. The eternal Messiah, the God who came to the world as a man, will come from the house of David. David invited the God to come and dwell among the people, and God delighted in it and said to David, the Savior will come from your seed, and he will reign forever. Let's move to the next slide. And then let's move to the next slide. Next slide. And then Solomon, the son of King David, he didn't really walk in full heart with God. He was kind of mixed back. For on one hand, he built the first temple. He built the first temple. He wrote three amazing books that are part of the Holy Bible. During his reign, Israel experienced great wealth and success. But on the other hand, he fell in sin and he worshipped idols. And his son Rehoboam was even worse. Rehoboam started to reign after King Solomon's death. And Rehoboam caused the division to the kingdom of Judah in the south, in the kingdom of Israel in the north. With each successive king in Israel, the spiritual and moral condition of the nation deteriorated more and more. And God punished people of Israel. In 586 BC, Babylonians came, they conquered, they defeated Jerusalem, they destroyed the first temple, and they exiled Judah. Let's move to the next slide. The nation of Israel went into exile. The land of Israel was desolate. And in this point, it seemed like it was the end of the story. It seemed as if God has rejected Israel and finished his story with them. But, as I have mentioned, punishment comes only for the short period of time. And our God is faithful God. He is faithful to his promises to Abraham. He is faithful to his promises to King David. And so after 70 years of exile, he brought people of Israel back to the land of Israel. And why he did it? Because he promised to King David that the Messiah would be born not in Persia, not in Babylon, not in Assyria, but in Bethlehem. So to fulfill his promise, he brought people of Israel back to the land of Israel. Let's move to the next slide. The promises were fulfilled. The Messiah Yeshua Jesus was born in Bethlehem from the line of David. The temple built by the Israelites after their return from the Babylonian exile existed during the time of Jesus. In the same time, In the same temple where Jesus of many occasions taught the people and explained to them about the kingdom of God. And then we know the story that Jewish religion leadership, they rejected Jesus. And then I want to read you a short passage from Matthew chapter 23 that describes in wonderful way the heart of our Savior. Let's move to the next slide. In Matthew chapter 23, there is a description of Jesus' words when he was in Jerusalem shortly before his crucifixion. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to your desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus looked at the temple and turned to the residents of Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather you together under my wings to show you that it is a safest place for you to be. But you rejected all the prophets that I sent to you, and now you intend to kill me. So your house. So behold, your house is being left to you desolate. I will not return until you call upon me and say to me, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then let's move to the next slide. We know what happened in the next one. In the 70 AD, the second temple was destroyed by Roman soldiers. Almost 1 million Jewish people were killed. Hundreds of thousands were taken to the slavery by Roman soldiers, to be preyed upon by wild animals in the arenas of battle, to entertain the crowds in the capital of Roman Empire. And Jewish people who survived the massacre were displaced all over the world and persecuted by local Gentile population. And let's move to the next slide. It was clear to everyone who observes history from a human and logical point of view that the political foundation of the nation of Israel was permanently severed, and that the Jewish independence would never return. Once again, it seemed like it was the end of the story. And I want to share something in this context. You know, the first church was built during the Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. We call in Hebrew, we say Shavuot. First church was built in Jerusalem. All first believers were Jewish. All apostles there were Jewish. And they suffered greatly to bring the gospel to the entire world. And so more and more Gentiles, believers, came and became to be part of the church. And then, at the fourth century, church became an official. Christianity became an official religion of Roman Empire. And in that time, in the 4th century, they just cut their Jewish roots. And of course, and I can say that in that time, replacement theology took a permanent place in the Christian worldview. And replacement theology states that God changed his mind on Israel. And you know, when I read the history, it is very clear that there were political reasons to cut the Jewish roots of Christianity and to push replacement theology. But many sincere people of faith during the generations believed in replacement theology. And I think that I have an explanation why it happened. You know, when you read the Bible and you see everywhere in the Bible is written about the land of Israel, and then these sincere people of faith, they look with their own eyes to the land of Israel, and they saw that this land is desolate. And then everywhere in the Bible, they read about the people of Israel, And once again, they look with their own eyes upon the people of Israel, and they saw that it is just a small group of people that are displaced all over the world. And from this logical point of view, it seemed logical for them that God, that replacement theology are right. You know, it reminds me of the story of Abraham and Sarah. God promised a couple a son, but Sarah was not able to have children, so she decided to lend God a helping hand. It is a good lesson for us not to try to help God to fulfill his promises or to explain his promises. We just need to believe in what is written. Amen? Amen. And let's move, as I conclude, let's move to the next one. Okay. Okay, now let us return to the story of God in the history of the nation of Israel. As I have mentioned, the land of Israel was desolated. Different empires have ruled over the land of Israel, and the nation of Israel were displaced and persecuted throughout the world. It seemed like the end of the story. And then, let's move once again, one more slide, and then once again, Bible prophecy started to be fulfilled. We are living in very difficult times, but in the same time, it is very special time when Bible prophecy started to be fulfilled. Exactly as the Bible foretold, in our days, God is bringing Jewish people, after 2,000 years of exile, God bringing Jewish people back to his promised land. And then in 1948, against all the odds, the state of Israel was established. And I can see, let's move to the next slide, fulfillment of prophecy from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27. It is written, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands." This prophecy was written 2,700 years ago, and in our days we see fulfillment of this prophecy. "And bring you into your own land. When I will then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." From this prophecy, we see that God's plan, God's desire for Jewish people, not just to bring them back to the land of Israel physically, but God's desire to give them a new heart full of his spirit. And do you remember I mentioned burden? Stone is something very heavy. Oh, it is so hard to try to observe your commandments. But God promised, "I will take the heart of stone from your hearts and give you a heart of flesh." People of Israel will observe the word of God through of love, because Jesus will change their hearts. And it is God's desire for people of Israel in our days. And it is exactly what exactly the same Apostle Paul writes in his letter to Romans. Let's move to the next slide. Apostle Paul wrote, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it written." You see, Apostle Paul says, there is a secret that I want to reveal to you. There will be a partial hardening, partial blindness on the eyes of the people of Israel until the fullness of Gentiles. And in our days, after state of Israel was established, more and more Jewish people started to come to faith in Yeshua. Let's say 150 years ago, there were about 1,000 Jewish people who believed in Yeshua, in Jesus, as their Messiah. Today, only in the land of Israel, we have about 15,000. You see, and in all these events, we see that Bible prophecies started to be fulfilled. And the last verse, and I will conclude with this one. So, as Christians, we need to understand that we have a responsibility to the Jewish people. The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit used the Jewish people to write the Bible. And there was not internet. You needed to write it and then to preserve the scrolls. And many empires throughout the generations, they tried to destroy the Holy Scrolls. And Jewish people faithfully kept it. Jesus, Yeshua, was born as a Jew. All the apostles were Jewish and they suffered greatly to bring the gospel to the entire world. And today, it is our privilege to stand with Israel and to bring gospel back to the people of Israel. And Bible is internal truth. And God promised, I will bless those who bless you. It means that when we pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, when we involved in Jewish evangelism, God can bless us even more with this special Abrahamic blessing. And by the way, if you want to pray for us in focus about our ministry, I brought the brochures. It is on the table in the entrance to the church. If you want to stay in touch with us, and me and Victoria, we just send updates once a month. You can write your name, your last name, your email address, and maybe phone number. And for us, it will be a huge privilege to continue to stay in touch with you. And so you can pray for us in focus. And also, there is so many misleading news about Israel on mass media, so we try to send some updates about what really happening in Israel. Okay, let's conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify your name. We are so thankful that your love unites us into one body, Jews and Gentiles. We just united by your love. We glorify your name. And we pray as you commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace in the Holy Land. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all the hostages that are right now in the hands of this terrorist organization, Hamas. We just ask your miracle, Heavenly Father. We ask for your peace. We pray for both, for Jews and Arabs, to receive the Prince of Peace so that we can see your peace in the Holy Land. I also pray for this amazing church, for Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I thank you. I'm so thankful to you that they are standing with Israel. They are praying for the salvation of the Jewish people, for the peace of Jerusalem. And I want to ask you, please bless them even more with this special Abrahamic blessing. By the name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.